Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome into another edition of Cabali and Mac. The Kaboom is in Latrobe, hanging out there in the lobby outside the media room, getting ready for one of the final couple practices at St. Vincent College before they break camp, head to the South Side, and then a couple practices against the Bucks. Tampa Bay coming to town later this week. They'll play another preseason game on Saturday night. We thank each and every single one of you. No, Dan, he did not park in the grass this time, did you? How many times has that joke been dropped in the last 5 days?
I think it surpassed the old sub in the pocket joke. I've heard it already.
We've heard it a million times.
Come up with something new.
Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. We are your friends, Mark Cabali and Chris Mack. Follow Cabali and Mack on X, on Facebook, on TikTok, of course, on Instagram. We're up to 305 followers now. If you're one of the first 500, you will be entered in that random drawing for this beautiful $100 Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate, which we'll give away once we get to 500 followers on IG, as the kids say. And we're also about the same number of people away on YouTube subscribers from getting to 2,500. When we get to 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, someone will win an autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles who are hooking Yins up. So we're at 22-something, I don't know, right around 2,200. So that close to 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. We appreciate every single one of you who follows along and has some fun with us here. Cabali did not have fun trying to get to camp today because he was at the 93.7 The Fan studios until 10 a.m. and then spent 90 minutes fighting traffic trying to get to Latrobe.
Fighting it. Hey, that's a good thing. Then I tried to get on. Hey, Joe Rutter, he's 40 minutes late too.
Calling out other media members as they walk into the building.
Well, they decided to move up availability 30 minutes and gave us 1 minute notice. So I think a lot of people are missing morning availability. I'm guessing, total speculation, that they didn't have a walkthrough this morning or a lighter walkthrough that started everything early. So
Bert Lawton does what he wants, Kaboom. We're all just living in his world.
Hey, blame Bert. We got today, we got tomorrow, so he can do whatever he wants to do.
Exactly. And the Steelers are coming off a preseason win. Let's not ignore that. It's preseason. I read your recap. Very nicely done, as always, for the Pat McAfee Show on Twitter, X. Go find it if you didn't read it yet. I mean, the first drive, perfect example of what this offense is capable of. We got a tight end down the seam. Look at this. Big Darnell Washington with a touchdown catch on a perfectly placed ball by Mason Rudolph. That first drive from Mason in the offense, chef's kiss.
Not only him, Arthur Smith put together, okay, they didn't game plan for anything, but He was calling the right plays. He was getting the ball out quickly. You have to give Arthur Smith a lot of credit there too. But boy, where have I heard somebody just beating the drum for Darnell Washington for the past about 5 months?
Did I point the right way? Should I point that way? I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to point. But, give you the old Scott Hall point.
I was down on Darnell his first 2 years because I didn't view him as nothing more than a blocking tight end with bad knees. If he was going to get through that first contract, he was going to be lucky. He shows up in April for OTAs almost immediately. I'm like, whoa, this dude's different. I mean, and he not just different looking, but just how he was playing, running routes, maybe confidence. He pushed that into mini camp. He pushed that into training camp, and we see the fruits of his labor have now come to the forefront in a preseason game, and can't ask for anything more than that, man. You're talking about Freiermuth, Jonnu Smith being the tight ends. This guy's all of a sudden emerged as a potential weapon.
I mean, we've been saying it. I know you've been on the Darnell Washington train all spring and summer because, like you said, he came in looking good. I've been on the Darnell Washington train since the first time I saw him practice in Latrobe a couple years ago, and he was making toe-tap catches in the back of the end zone. It was during positional drills, but still, the dude is so much lighter on his feet running routes and catching the ball than people, I think, give a guy of that size credit for. I mean, he's freaking bigger than Broderick Jones. But he runs like a wide receiver. He really does. I mean, he's not going to drop any 4.3 40s on you, but look at that route down the seam. You wrote about it. He presses it just a little to the outside and creates some space for Mason to drop the ball in over the top. It's perfect.
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect. And this is what we've seen all summer from man. And we tend to forget that maybe his best attribute we did not see on Saturday. The guy that can block anybody in the league.
I mean, you put him, Pat, and Jonnu out on the field together. Like I said, it sounds like a punchline and a joke because it's Arthur Smith and it's 13 personnel and all that, but it works because either one of those first two tight ends can split out wide. You've got DK on the field as well, I would presume, in those situations. I don't want to say it doesn't matter who the back is, Warren, Caleb Johnson, Kenny G, whoever. But you can do anything from those formations. You can run because, like you said, Washington can block like a tackle. And you can put five guys into the pattern, too, and have plenty of options for Rodgers or Mason, in this case, to choose from.
You have a very, well, just let's say with Aaron Rodgers, a very seasoned and smart quarterback that can get to the line and diagnose the play real quickly and say, okay, I see what their personnel is and I see what ours is. We can instantly get into a matchup that we'd like to see right away. It's just a little bit extra added bonus they have with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying Mason couldn't do it, but Aaron has been in this league for 20 years for a reason.
Yeah.
It's pretty Mike good Tomlin, at that.
Mike Tomlin answered the question finally over the weekend of why he was so comfortable waiting on Aaron Rodgers this spring. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But even though it's just preseason, you still got to be happy when you see cool things happen like this. Max Herrlemann, baby, with the backflip. Adds the backflip on top with the touchdown catch from Skylar Thompson. Another guy. You called it on Saturday.
I called it, but we've heard about him back to when Ross Tucker was on. I was like, Ross, whatever.
Whatever.
But then you see him, and you see him making those plays every single day again. It was just a matter of time before he did it in the game. So
he's athletically gifted, man. Like, he can do a lot out there.
Well, he's not going to make the 53, man. But, boy, he's a valuable asset to this team when they want to practice. If you want to play corner, he can play defense. He's punt returns. Receiver, running back. You can see how athletic he is. So he's destined for the practice squad. But once again, maybe training camp, we dismiss it too easily. But when you start seeing certain players continue to stand out, they normally show up in the preseason. I mean, Mason has been very good in training camp too, and
right,
hopefully he's been able. But we still, you don't want to get out over your skis here, right?
No,
I don't. 2 years, that's tough. It's tough because they
played
well. I want to
pump the brakes, but when you score 35 in the preseason opener.
Yeah, but they only had 14 with 10 minutes left in the game. So
I know, but it still feels good to watch the offense look good, yeah, especially on the first drive, like you said. Thanks to Southwest Greens for supporting the show as well here on Cabali and Mac. Look, it hadn't rained in like a week and a half. It's not going to rain for like another week and a half. This is what August is like in Pittsburgh. Your lawn dries up no matter how much you try to take care of it. What if you didn't have to water it? What if you didn't have to mow it? What if you didn't have to spend any of that time, maintenance, and most importantly, all that money every single summer on trying to make your lawn look good? What if you just had a beautiful lawn from the get-go, a beautiful artificial surface from Southwest Greens? Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Cabali and Mac sent you. We know people that have already gotten hooked up with them and love the work they do. You don't have to do the whole yard either. You can do a little corner of the yard where the kids' play area is. Maybe you want to practice the golf stroke a little bit. Get the putting work down with a little green there in the backyard. Whatever you want to do, Southwest Greens will take care of you. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. And like you said, Ross Tucker called this whole Max Herrlemann thing way back on May 21st. Where? Right here.
So his name's Max Herrlemann. I just want you guys to know this story, okay? So that during the – so first of all, Mark can write about him.
On Tuesday.
Whoever he writes for now, McAfee, whoever he writes for.
Whoever pays me there, Ross.
Okay. But Mark can write this story during OTAs or training camp because it's unbelievable. So Max went to Wyomissing, my alma mater, okay? We lost to the same team 3 years in a row in the district championship. I'm still bitter about it. 2019, we only had 5 seniors. Max was one of them. And he basically said, it's over. It ends now. Okay. They won the district championship. And then we won whatever it is, 6 or 7 in a row, whatever. That was Max. I helped him get a half scholarship to Colgate. Goes to Colgate. Okay. Earns a full ride. Sophomore and junior year starts at running back. Senior year, they move him to slot receiver. He also, by the way, is the Patriot League Special Teams Player of the Year. Tells me he wants to grad transfer, you know, Richmond. He gets these offers. He's like, no, I don't want, I already did the FCS thing. Walks on at Notre Dame, okay? He becomes a core special teamer. He becomes their punt returner, and he plays defense for him. He's like a backup corner. So here's what you need to know. I might have texted some people at the Steelers to make sure they were aware of him. They give him a tryout. Okay. Max is on tomorrow's Ross Tucker football podcast. Thursday's Ross Tucker football podcast. I just interviewed him. Every Steelers fan, you have to listen or watch this. The first day he goes out there, Tomlin says, we're going to start you at running back. Are you okay with that? He's like, yeah. I like, what can you imagine, Max? What did we even say? Like, no, Tomlin, I'm not doing that. Like, of course, yes.
Ross Tucker, May 21st, here on this show. And like he said, he interviewed Max Herrlemann a couple months ago. You could go back and find that on his podcast, too.
He never told us about the backflip capabilities. So.
He didn't. He mentioned what an athlete he was. We didn't know Max was going to be doing backflips in the end zone. Good for that kid.
Hey, he walked on and Notre Dame was their starting punt returner. So
he's got to be able to do something, right?
I mean, once again, you saw my face here. I was like, why I'm missing, that's why you're talking him up. But nah, man, give Ross credit, man. He was all over this. It has translated into the preseason so far.
So Max Herrlemann looks good for what it's worth. You know, like you said, he's not going to make the 53-man roster, but maybe a really valuable special teams guy that you sneak onto the practice squad. And look, injuries happen, right? Everybody gets hurt in this league. So maybe at some point he's running down on kickoffs or punt coverage during the regular season, depending on how things are going on special teams. He seems like a big Danny Smith guy. I could see Danny Smith falling in love with Max Herrlemann.
Yeah, Danny Smith probably would love anybody that could make a tackle. Or, you know what Max Herrlemann looks like to me? Even though he is a punt returner, he looks like a guy that can block punts. And I just find that crease,
yeah,
slide his way in there, do something like that.
He's going to make a play if he gets a chance to be on the field at some point this season. He's going to make a play on special teams, even if it's just like one of those tackles where you blow up the punt returner, where, you know, he doesn't make the fair catch and he just you make contact just as he gets the ball. He's going to do something where people are going to be like, oh, I don't know which old-timey Steeler they'll compare him to. Probably Jerry O.
Stephon Logan. You remember him? Tomlin will definitely bring that up within a week or two. Well, Stephon Logan turned a kick in the final preseason game that made him the roster, so this stuff is important. So maybe he does have a balling out on the last preseason game that gives him a 53, man. I'm not going to count him out, but it just the numbers just don't seem in his favor.
No, but like you said, if he makes another big impression in one of these last two preseason games or in that that dual practice with Tampa, maybe he gets a shot to return and punt every once in a while in the preseason and gets an opportunity to run away with one. Got to thank as well the new Third Do First In podcast, firefighter and first responder show, where they talk about everything that goes into that life. You don't have to be a firefighter, a cop, a first responder to get some really interesting stories from Keith and Gino and all the guests that they have on. Again, you might not be living that life, but they have people on there to tell you about what it's like. People from all walks of the first responder realm coming on to talk to Third Do First In. Go check it out. It's on YouTube and all your social media. And pretty good show if you're into that kind of stuff. We appreciate them jumping on board here too with Kabali and Mac, and want to point out that they're out there for everybody to check out when they get a chance as well. One more guy I wanted to bring up. You wrote a lot about the offense from that first preseason game. And again, the offense looked good, especially early on. But one more guy I wanted to bring up because I saw somebody doing a breakdown of his work on the other side of the ball this morning. Brian Baldinger on YA.
To wake you up on a Monday morning, just drop in YA Black, the fifth round pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers here, attacking Anton Harrison and just running down the line and just crushing this running back, ETN of the Jacksonville Jags. Like, there's things about this guy that you go, is he a member of the Steel Curtain? Like, you watch Straight Power, just grabbing elbows and wrists and hands and just pushing the guard right back into the lap of the quarterback.
I could listen play to Baldy talk about guys in the trenches all day, by the way.
I'm just showing you five of them right here. Like, watch this pull and jerk right here. Like, and then watch the bend.
Whoa.
The big man. Look at this. Look at him bend coming right at. You think any quarterback wants to see
big
that?
Big man
coming?
Knows how to pull and jerk like, and bend, kaboom.
Like, this is the steal in the fifth round right here. You can tell already. Like, you watch this. Like, he turns Bigsby. Watch Bigsby. Watch what he does. Like, here he comes. All right? Got that gap. Now let's go make the play. I mean, Bigsby looks like he's just crash test dummy material.
Great stuff from Baldy. What'd you think of the defensive line? Because there was no Cam, obviously. No TJ. Hardly any starters played in this thing. Keanu Benton, though, we talked about going into the game. Derek Harmon got to play. And we saw Baldy going off on YA Black there.
First of all, let's put this in perspective. If YA Black is still the fifth round and Will Howard is still the sixth round,
they got all the steals.
Jack Sawyers is still the fourth round. I think that's pretty good shape they're in right now. Maybe we're find somebody who loves the Steelers more than Baldy, too.
True. He loves linemen.
Yeah, he's up here every once in a while as well. I forget what your question was. What was it now?
Just the defensive line. How did it look? You watched every play of this game. You were down at Archie's for the watch party. I was at a country concert.
Oh, I had some good wings too, man.
Jealous of them wings.
I had the spicy, what is it? Sweet and tangy, the buffalo, the Duquesne, a couple irons.
What's the Duquesne? I haven't had
it. It tastes very similar to Chick-fil-A sauce. Large twist on it.
Ooh.
Couple irons, Iron Cities, Icy Lights. Actually,
good work by you.
No, seriously, I did.
I'm complimenting you on the fine work.
I was going to go Iron City, but I don't think they had that in the draft. Whatever. I digress. I don't think the defensive line played as much to get a huge read on them, especially Derek Harmon. I think would he play less than 10 snaps?
Yeah, but YA only played 10.
Yeah, so it was really hard to be able to tell what they did. And their second line, defensive line are just a bunch of names right now. I think Loudermilk played pretty decent, but I really don't think you come out of that game pointing at the defensive line and knowing anything more than you knew going in. You knew Wyatt Black was good. You knew he could bat down passes. You knew he was strong, big, fast. You knew Harmon wasn't going to be overwhelmed, and I think we came out of there with that same feeling. So
I'm curious to see, like, again, we're not going to get to see this, you know, combo practice with Tampa. You are, so maybe you can glean some more insight, but that's a decent offensive line. That's a actually pretty good offensive line they have in Tampa. Werfs on the left tackle, Cody Mauch on the other side, Graham Barton in the middle. You know, if they're able to do, if they're able to get some time, these defensive linemen like Harmon, like Y.A. Black, even Benton, and do some damage against what I think is probably a much better offensive line than what they saw in Jacksonville the other night, then I'll start to feel better about them going into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you didn't have Cam Heyward, which is a monster piece there. And I'm trying to look here now as we speak of how many snaps certain people got defensive line-wise. Black had 10. Benton had 8. Who else am I missing here?
Harmon.
Where is Harmon? Harmon had 32, so maybe he could play. I don't think Harmon then – that's not a good sign. If you really didn't notice Harmon and he had 32 snaps, that's 50%, half the season, half the game. So, but I don't know how much they ran the ball to as well. I'm not really worried about that right now. I would be more – if you're looking at something you want to, within the trenches, is I think the offensive line played much better than probably the defensive line. And that's probably where you need it more right now than anything else, because that was the bigger question, I think.
Broderick Jones look all right to you?
Well, I mean, they pass blocked. He only played like 15 snaps. Both of them, him and Fautanu. I don't think they allowed any pressure whatsoever. Fautanu had the hands to the face, but whatever, stuff happens. I think both of those guys are better run blockers than pass blockers. However, they probably pass blocked 75% of the time, and they were pretty flawless. So that's a good first step right there. I mean, I don't think you can say anything negative about either one of those two. I'd much rather see them go out there and pass block and be good at that right now than run block. I'm pretty sure that both of them can handle their own. So it's a good start with those guys. But they, even Spencer Anderson, I thought, played pretty well. And obviously, Frazier. They got him in there for, what, two series?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine.
This is an interesting question from Justin that I think might overshoot the mark just a little bit. But it does bring up, he says, if Y.A. played way less than Derek Harmon, could Y.A. Black potentially overtake Harmon? I don't know if that's the question. I think the question might be more along the lines of, given what kind of fronts they're in, knowing that they very rarely play three down linemen.
Honestly, I don't remember Y.A. Black playing much nose at all in this camp.
So maybe it's even more of a valid question.
Yeah, it's more depth right there. If you've got Harmon, Heyward, Benton, Black, and all, you know, rotate in at those two down linemen type of positions, especially when you're going to definitely play five buzzsaw. Just flip me off.
Who flips you off?
Podamski just flipped me off.
Podamski buzzsaw.
Yeah, he's always late. He's only an hour late today.
Well, I mean, he needs prep time to come up with those really long questions.
No, he probably food. He makes it just in time for lunch.
Mike.
But what I'm saying is you're going to go a lot of sub packages, 3, 4, 5 defensive backs. You're only going to have 2 defensive linemen, 2 down linemen,
right?
3 techs.
So then, like I said, maybe that makes Justin's question even more valid.
Yeah, and I don't think he's overtaken. I think it's just going to be
depth. More share.
Yeah.
More snap share between the two of them, maybe. Mike jumped in to say that Max Hurleman was very impressive. Mike, if you're jumping in late, we did an extensive diatribe on Max Hurlman earlier. You can always catch that once the video is totally up and archived on YouTube and on X and wherever you get it. But yeah, Hurlman, a fun story on the offensive side of the ball. Definitely. Thanks, as always, to everyone that supports the show, including each and every one of you watching out there, but also our friends at Impact HVAC. Kaboom said it, I think, before the show started, but it's hot out there, not just at Latrobe, everywhere. The last few steamy throws of summer over the next couple of weeks, and you don't want to be sweating your ass off in your own home. You want to have somebody come out and make sure the AC's running all right, everything's good. Maybe it's blown up on you over the weekend. You need it repaired, maybe replaced. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll come out. They'll give it a look, tell you exactly what's going on and how much they can do for you to make sure that you're not dying in the heat for the rest of this summer and you're staying nice and cool. Thanks to Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. Any other takeaways, Kaboom? Any other people you have to mention after this first preseason game that is, as you wrote, meaningless yet meaningful?
Well, you know, Keyshawn, was Keyshawn Williams? Well, I don't remember his name because he didn't do too much in training camp preseason at all. For him to come out and make some spectacular plays, touchdown, was very impressive to me. I mean, I think
that's a practice squatter.
I think we went over Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
And people are getting on my butt saying, and I just said recently that he's the best backup quarterback in the league.
But and I don't see that as like some spicy red hot take.
But when you're throwing to me, oh, what about Kirk Cousins? What about Sam Howell? I'm like, what about Malik Willis? You're giving the argument for me. I mean, you're answering it for me here. I think he's Jameis Winston, right? We're going to go down that route there. I just think that Mason, there, and I've said this a couple of months ago, this probably is the best quarterback room they've had in some time, probably back to maybe their Super Bowl year of the Batch Leftwich, Dennis Dixon, Roethlisberger area. I think that's how good this room is right now. Because even if you do – I know there's a lot of criticism still on Mason. Well, he's a short-term guy. Look what he did in Tennessee last year. First of all, Tennessee sucked last year. I mean, you could have got Dan Marino and Joe Montana have kids.
What?
You can have the brother Dan Marino.
I don't think they can do that. Okay. I don't think that's possible.
You can have Dan Marino having a kid with Joe Montana.
You can have all the reassignment surgery in the world. I don't think Joe Montana and Dan Marino can have kids together.
You can put together Dan Marino and Joe Montana and Joe Elway, and it wouldn't have won in Tennessee last year, right? It just wouldn't have won. And the last time we saw him here, he had three very good games, and he had a decent game in Buffalo under those really bad weather conditions right now. How do we know he can't do it for the season? We just haven't seen it. He's progressively gotten better and better and better. Aaron's still your guy. Aaron still gives you the best chance to win the division, still gives you the best chance to win playoff games. But if you throw Mason in there, may God forbid Aaron Rodgers gets hurt again on play one or two, I think they can still win 9-10 games with Mason's your starter the whole year.
That's why.
That's nothing against Aaron. That's just saying how Mason has improved his game over the last 3 years.
That's why I was excited to see Mason do so well early and then get out of the game. Because I know I sounded like I was suffering from paranoia over the last few days, but I did not want him out there because I want him healthy as well, just in case something should happen to Rodgers during the regular season. 41-year-old quarterbacks, doesn't matter how healthy they are and how good the protection is, can still get hurt. And when they do, if you don't have, as you've called them, the best, and I agree, the best backup quarterback in the league, you're going to be in trouble. So Mason goes in there, goes, 7-7 or whatever it was on the first drive?
9-10 overall. But, you know, they put him in position where he wasn't at risk very much. I know anything can happen. But he was getting the ball ready on time, out. So as long as he does that, I think he'd be pretty safe of taking a big hit. But how many times do you see a quarterback take a big hit then get hurt? Usually,
no, it's more.
Strange.
It's more about this. It's more about like the soft tissue stuff. Like you go to scramble out of the pocket and you bust a hammy.
Unless you get a concussion.
Right, which is always a possibility too. So I think you have to be happy, like you said, with the way Mason played. You feel good about that. I don't think he needs to see a ton of reps. Who's saying hello? What's up, dude? How long are the questions going to be today, Buzzsaw?
He's ripping on you. He said, how long are your questions? He said, how long are your questions going to be today?
Here, so.
He said Graves isn't here, so he has to pick up the swag.
That's fair. Graves is off covering gymnastics in New Orleans. There's worse places to be in the middle of the summer than New Orleans. Good point. A lot of this stuff that we're talking about, the first couple of drives on offense from Jabroni was against the starters on Jacksonville, too. So I think you feel good about that. Lots of good things to take away from
but
the
first
three.
Let me ask you a question here. If they do play some of the starters, maybe not all of them against Tampa, and crap the bed, do we just feel totally opposite now?
No, I think it brings us back to equilibrium if that were to happen. I do think, like, it's good to see all the depth, like you say, all the backups play well, especially the ones that played against Jacksonville starters. Like, that's great. It's all well and good. And 31 points in the preseason opener for a team who has their questions on offense. It's all wonderful. But we do have to pump our brakes just a little bit. Like my kid was trying to bet me yesterday and I took the bet. I'm not going to not take the bet that they're going to win the division and have the best record in the AFC. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, buddy, that's fine. Let's put your money where your mouth is. And I gave him some decent odds on a couple of those bets. But yeah, let's pump the brakes.
I mean, it could have been much worse, right? I mean, what I saw out of the game, too, is I don't know if you could tell this or not. I could tell. You know how they always talk about we want competition at every position?
Right.
Obviously, that's not really the case with the top 18 or 19 players. But those second and third tier teams, it come loud and clear to me that there's competition there. And they want to win a job. You know, they're close. So they better ball out or they're going to be hitting the road here. That's what it seemed like to me. You know, the Thornhills, the Beanie Bishop stepping up when, you know, nobody even thought he was going to be a – I mean, have you heard his name once yet this preseason?
Nope. Hasn't been talked about since he stomped all over Pitt's locker room load.
Yeah. So now he's saying, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here. That's that competition coming through right there. And I think that's one of the things that we didn't it's noticeable, but you have to think about it. Like, yeah, you know, I notice that now that even some of the offensive line guys, the secondary guys, the wide receiver, the second tier wide receiver guys. So I like where they're at, but you're right. Say if they start 90% of their starters against Tampa, crap the bed. We're going to say fire Tomlin, Omar stinks.
No, I don't think we're going to go that far. Another point from Jabroni, good sign that this Arthur Smith offense is looking as good as it did early on. I know that's another guy you brought up.
First, what was that first touchdown since like ever? Is that his first ever first drive touchdown, Arthur Smith?
It might be.
I didn't look at the preseason last year. I can't remember now. But if it is, it was kind of flawless.
Yeah.
Maybe they did game plan. They're going to say they didn't.
You don't game plan for a preseason game, though.
You have your top 10 plays for that first top.
I mean,
they threw the ball 7 times. You don't think that was by design?
Well, I do. No, you can have some design to what you want to do, but it's the old Tomlinism of we're not worried about what they're going to do. We're going to do what we want to do. And I think when you go into a regular season game plan, you're looking to poke holes in the soft spots on the opposing defense. When you go to a preseason game, you're not even thinking about the opposing defense and who's out there and what it looks like and all that. You're going into it saying, okay, we want to work on these things that we want to do. And those things look good, especially on the first drive.
Yeah, you're right.
So you can't have a problem with that, I don't think. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for sponsoring the show as well. We appreciate them. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them supporting Cabali and Mac as much as they do. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people you need to get a hold of. HeckTeamHomes.com. They are waiting for you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team ready to help you find the perfect home for you and your family. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, the Dan Heck team. We appreciate their support of Cabali and Mac as well. All right, one final thing I wanted to bring up today. Now that we're done breaking down the preseason.
Well, you know, one thing we did talk real quick.
What?
Caleb Johnson, what's your view on him?
I mean,
20 yards, but 25 came after contact. I'm not very good at math, but that must mean that he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage.
So you're not worried about the run blocking, though?
Well, a lot of that was second-team run block, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to go back and break it down.
Break it down.
I mean, I think he was a little hesitant. It's his first game, of course.
Right.
I'm not worried about it, but it wasn't a stellar beginning for him.
No, could have been better. I mean, all the good stuff that we're talking about on offense.
He's the guy that's going to go 2-2-2-86, you know.
So, you think?
I think so. I think
our fans going to – are people going to – is that going to work for this offense, though? Like, that's – Najee never went 86. He'd go negative 1, 2, 1, negative 2, 23.
Yeah, but those 86 makes those average yards per carry and rush numbers go up quite quickly. And I think he's that home run hitter. I mean, we didn't see Jaylen Warren, of course. I think that pretty much tells us he's – clear cut number one, but I don't know. We still got two more games left. I'm sure things will work out better, but it's not. I don't think Caleb Johnson had a lot of. He had some holes that he probably screwed up on, but I don't think the blocking was there as well. Even though that's the strength of that offensive line.
All right, I wanted to bring this up because I mentioned it at the top of the show, and we just spent, what, a half hour talking about backups and what they did during the first preseason game. This has nothing to do with backups. This has everything to do with the starting quarterback and the head coach and why he was or was not comfortable sitting around this spring waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Ryan Clark asked him about it on the Pivot podcast over the weekend.
You know, this dude been doing it 21 years, man. Four-time MVP, all of that stuff. Like, I just wanted to know why. Why does the fire still burn? What is his agenda? Those are some of the conversations that we had in the spring, man. And I just got real comfortable with his why, man. Like, all he wants to do is win. All he wants to do is have fun within the game. He want to be a component of the process of development for young players. Like, everything that we talked about through our conversations in the spring, I'm watching him live out right now in this training camp setting. I believed him when he said it, but it's fun to watch it play out. I think that's why I'm excited. I think that's why I was comfortable. And you're right. I knew something.
Oh, he drops that in at the end. He knew all along that Aaron Rodgers was coming kaboom, just like you said, all spring. They knew.
Yeah, but did he have that almost exact date like me? I'm Mike. I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did. He was texting with him every
day. I mean, now we look back on it. I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking, how dumb am I? How did I see that? Know this was coming. I tried to tell you. I mean, I've said it a number of times, and I got ripped for it. I'm like, they don't proceed as a franchise in this way unless they know something.
Unless they have some assurances, right?
But there was always that point of, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. Who knows what he might do? But what we've learned since then is Aaron Rodgers is as normal as a guy as it comes. He's no different than Mason Rudolph, than Mitch Trubisky. He just has bigger or thicker resume. He's a guy that has fun, wants to play, likes his teammates. That's what I view from him.
Sounds like the old Bill Kessel thing. Good guy, tries hard, loves the game.
Eats hot dogs. I don't know if Aaron eats hot dogs. Aaron,
no, he doesn't strike me as a hot
proud, dog. He'd be proud of me with the wired headphones today.
Yeah, he would. You wouldn't be getting those Bluetooth signals in your brain.
But, I hope he doesn't use a phone. How does he use his phone?
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just texts.
I saw some older lady yesterday, the other day, wearing the old Bluetooth in the ear with the blinking blue light. Remember those suckers?
Oh, yeah. With like the little headset on it?
Yeah, it only came like to your ear, and it's like you had to hit it. How stupid were we back then?
Well, I mean, that was the technology. You're not one to complain about new and old technology.
But you look back at it now, like, what the hell are we wearing?
Whatever worked at the time.
Yeah, I'm talking about radiation in your brain.
You know what somebody brought up to me yesterday? This is completely unrelated and off the rails. But you talk about things they did a long time ago, and that's not that long ago. But somebody brought up that I guess it's this year's the 100th anniversary, and you're going to laugh and say, well, it's the last time they won a World Series. But no, it's the 100th anniversary of the Pirates in the 1925 World Series, lighting the field at Forbes Field on fire with gasoline so that they could burn off all the water from a recent rainstorm so they could play a game.
I think we did that back in the Little League or Pony League days at times too.
Right. So there you go. There's another thing that people did years ago that we would look at now and go, what the hell were you thinking?
I'm guessing it worked.
I mean, yeah, but what do you smell like after you play a game on a field that's been burned with gasoline?
Matter, as long as you get the game in.
You would have had your kids team doing that this spring if it meant we're getting more games in.
Nothing like smell of napalm in the morning.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, what is a carry across? It's a work.
Hold on. No.
It's a work.
We'll get to the WWE corner in a second.
It's a work.
So Tomlin's all in on Rodgers. That's not surprising. We've known that for a couple months now. But it was, you know, we joke about it in a way, but it's just reaffirmation that they knew all along and that the rest of the world, people like myself included, I'll own it, were just flailing about in the darkness trying to figure out what was going on with the Steelers and Rodgers when they knew all along that it was gonna get done.
It was always Aaron, just like on Fast and Furious. It was always Toretto, Brian.
What was with the random Varsity Blues quote you dropped?
I went downstairs last night to finish some wrestling stuff, which I have not finished yet. It's part two of it. And I flipped on the TV and I flipped on Netflix and Varsity Blues popped up. It's on Netflix. I'm like, boom.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yes, I was writing, yeah.
Whipped cream, bikini and all.
Yeah, that wasn't whipped cream. That was shaving cream. But
whatever.
They should change the name of this
Peak Alley America,
America's funniest shots in the nuts.
Fire that pig skin, boy. Blast his dad right in the nose with the
ball. You know, there's a lot. You know what? That Bud Kilmer, man. I think I've had a couple coaches like that.
We've all had a Bud Kilmer. We've all had a Bud Kilmer at some point in our life.
Keep laughing, asshole.
That needle goes anywhere near his knee, you find yourself a new quarterback. Well, that's fine then. Tweeter will take the snaps. No, I won't, coach.
Tweeter, how do you think Gel's going to be?
Are we just going to sit here and do Varsity Blues lines?
I could probably do it all day. I mean, if you don't watch Varsity Blues, you're
tan. I give it a fucking tan.
The good thing about Netflix is it's nothing's cut out. On Netflix,
what would be cut out? You just talk about the language?
Miss Davis?
Oh, Miss Davis. That's what I said. I gave it a 10.
Well, nothing was cut out.
Good. Miss Davis, Varsity Blues is just it's up there on the list with
she just fell out of
Yeah, you're good. Another one of those movies that anytime it's on, you can watch it. Up there with Shawshank.
Assalamu
alaikum.
No, I'm talking about Ali Akbar Shabazz Bah.
Like Justin said in the YouTube chat, we've all had that moment when they come out of the strip club and it's morning and the sun just hits them in the face.
I think it's us.
All right,
you're playing football.
Justin also mentioned WWE Corner, which you started to address real quick. It is Raw tonight, and the Karrion Kross thing has started to get interesting because you had Scarlett post yesterday on social media that she's appreciated her time and working with everybody in the locker room, but she's available for other opportunities now. I, like you, say the whole thing's a work.
I think it is too, but I don't know. The thing is, I don't know how long it's going to play out until we find out it's a work. What I'd like to see is a NWO version 2, and I'm not talking about a faction, just a guy just shows up. Well, how about if he shows up on NXT? How about if he shows up at TNA? How about he comes back here? How about these anti-establishment, anti-trips, you know?
They need to that's exactly what they need to do. And I think not just doing it on the secondary shows, like you said, like NXT and TNA and all that, but if they do it, I mentioned this the other day, I think. If like Bubba said on Busted Open Radio the other day.
I think Bubba's tremendous on that show.
He's I know you don't watch LFG because your
cheap
YouTube package won't allow A&E.
Well, I love him on Busted Open.
He's great on Busted Open.
Not as good as LeBar, but yes.
No, nobody's as good as LeBar. But what he said on Busted Open last week was the way you play this whole storyline out is on social media. Don't even put it on TV. Let it play out on social media. And when the time is right, when the groundswell has built to such a point, and he mentioned an angle of having Karrion Kross like go out and get signatures from WWE fans that they want him back and all this stuff. That's one way to play it. That seems a little too corporatized needy. And cheesy for me.
Needy.
Yeah. What I need is, like you said, have Kross start to show up at stuff and like try to bust his way in. You know, like the old school when DX went to the WCW building in Virginia when they were both doing shows in the same town on the same night and were banging on the loading dock door. Have Karrion Kross do that, but at WWE events and just conveniently be there to cover it, and it gets posted to social media somehow. And before you know it, it's the groundswell gets even bigger and stronger. And after a month or two, he's doing the same thing at Raw and SmackDown. He's banging on the door, insisting on being let in. And before you know it, he does get in and he attacks someone in the ring. Like, there's a way to really slow burn, long play this thing out.
Yeah, they have to have some sort of decent storyline or it's going to fall flat on his face. And Justice said Scarlett already is making an appearance. That's perfect, man.
They are very smart.
That's very smart. Just like they didn't announce that his contract wasn't renewed. They moved him into the legend section on the website. And they know damn well these people were on that shit like that. Boom. Boom. Yep. Now it's everywhere, right? And so you don't have to smack somebody over the head with this stuff. Very subtle. Very, very, very subtle.
I even go so far as to wonder, Mark, if during the SummerSlam post show, when everybody was chanting, "We want Kross, we want Kross," and you had Triple H act like they were saying Brock, pretend like he didn't hear them correctly. I even wonder if that's a part of the angle.
Which makes the whole thing interesting. When you don't know reality, you don't know shoot from work, right? Speaking the terms of the business. When you don't know that, that's great. You saw a lot of that stuff on Unreal, too, of how what lengths they go to keep things quiet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so you don't have to smack anybody over the head. But I don't anticipate seeing Kross for a while.
No, except, like I said,
month,
like, the Bubba plan of letting it all play out on social media is the way to do it. And that is subtle enough that the people that only watch TV once or twice a week don't even know about it, maybe. But the hardcore fans, they start to get an inkling that something is going on. And then it comes onto TV eventually further down the line. I still didn't like over the weekend on SmackDown the way they're playing the whole Cena Lesnar thing. Like, it doesn't, that's something that actually doesn't add up. When Triple H says John had Brock Lesnar on his list, and then Cena comes out and says, "Why would I want to fight Brock Lesnar?" Now you've got two conflicting storylines. Maybe one's real, maybe one's kayfabe, as they say, in the ring. And which one is it?
Maybe it's all by design.
Maybe.
Once you become too predictable, you better pivot.
Maybe they're just playing us all. Everything's a work. I've said that before. Everything's
a work.
Maybe
this whole life is a work.
It's a simulation.
Earth. Simulation like, what's his name, Jim Carrey. What movie was it?
Not Bruce Almighty. The Truman Show.
Maybe this is all a Truman Show. Maybe there's somebody back in the back controlling everything.
Pushing all the buttons. Maybe. All right, go get some lunch. And we will do this thing again maybe on Wednesday. Talk about what the last couple practices at St. Vincent looked like. Start to get people ready for that tandem practice with Tampa later in the week. And the only home preseason game on Saturday night at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium against the Bucks. But lunch is calling, Kaboom. Go fuel up.
Something else is calling first. I got to take a leak.
Okay, good to know. Appreciate the info. Thanks to all of you for supporting. Make sure you follow on Instagram for a chance to win the Yoli's gift certificate. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube for a chance to win the autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And we'll talk to you again soon right here on Cabalion Mac. See you, bye.